As Jesus continued his journey to Jerusalem, he traveled through Samaria and Galilee. As he was entering a village, 10 lepers met him. They stood at a distance from him and raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." As they were going, they were cleansed. And one of them, realizing he had been healed, returned, glorifying God in a loud voice, and he fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus said in reply, 10 were cleansed, were they not? Where are the other 9? Has none but this foreigner returned to give thanks to God?" Then he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has saved you." The Gospel of the Lord. I'd like to do some good old-fashioned, simple catechesis and exhortation this morning. And I want to preface it all by saying that what I'm about to say might sting a little bit for some of you. It might kind of prick the conscience a little. Please know that I say it out of love. I want to invite you into a better way of living the gospel. I've often said that if we want to really understand the gospel, we need to learn to think like a Jew, right? That we have to have a familiarity with not only the Old Testament as scriptures, but of an Old Testament worldview, so to speak, because so much of what happens in the gospel has deeper meanings when we understand its context within the Jewish religion, which is our, as John Paul II said, the Jews are our spiritual fathers. So, there are several healings that Jesus does, and we want to remember that there's multiple senses to Scripture. We always respect the historical sense, the literal sense, right? So that the Scriptures are not just stories, and they're not, they're rooted in historical facts of Jesus' life. So, when the Gospel tells us that Jesus healed 10 lepers, he actually healed 10 lepers, right? When he tells us that he, raised somebody from the dead, he actually raised somebody from the dead. But because the Holy Spirit has the ability to speak on several levels to us through the things that happen, and because the Scriptures are part of God's revelation of himself, there's multiple senses to Scripture, and there's never just the literal historical sense. We always want to remember when we see Jesus performing miracles that they point to something deeper and, in a sense, more important than just whatever physical healing he gives to that person at that time. Right? They always point ultimately towards his power and his authority to forgive sins, which is our deepest wound. That's the sickness that we're most in need of healing. That's really what he came to do, is to save us from our sins and to deliver us from death, essentially, to conquer death. So there are a couple specific healings that he does. This one, and then I might be forgetting some others, but the other one that comes to mind is the woman who's suffering for many years from bleeding, from hemorrhaging. These in particular, if we think with our sort of Jewish background, there are things that come to the fore that don't necessarily stand out for us when we don't think that way. So namely, there are, because of all the ritual laws of the Old Testament, remember, for the Jews, the center of their religious life was the temple, right? And what made them special is that God dwelt in their midst and they worshiped God according to God's commands, right? So being a part of the worshiping community was very important for the Jews, and to be sort of excluded or outside of the worshiping community was very bad. And there were certain illnesses that made you ritually impure, like the bleeding the woman was experiencing, or like the leprosy that these 10 men had. These were things that made you ritually impure, unable to go to the temple, unable to be part of the worshiping community. It was sort of like an experience of living death, right? That they would, not only because of the physical suffering they had, but because of their separation from the worshiping community, their inability to go give worship to God. Now, if we see that meaning here in this gospel, I would say that we could also look past the physical suffering, the physical sickness that the lepers have, and realize that Jesus is also addressing this question of a sickness that separates us from the worshiping community. well, what could that mean in our lives? I doubt any of us has leprosy. If you do, I'd actually love to meet you, but that's probably not that literally applicable to us. But there is a sickness that we all suffer from, and it's the sickness of sin. And sin, especially when it's grave sin, can actually become a living death for us. And it can actually separate us from the worshiping community. Now, here's the part where maybe it'll start to sting a little bit. One of the reasons why we don't necessarily fully experience the separation from the worshiping community that sin brings about is that we've gotten somehow in the last few decades into the practice of, for the most part, everybody just assumes that every time they come to Mass, they're going to receive communion. But brothers and sisters, this is not how the church commands us to approach the Eucharist, right? If we are conscious of having committed grave sin that we have not confessed, then we are not to come receive communion. If we've committed a grave sin that we haven't confessed and we're not in a state of sanctifying grace, it's actually sacrilege to receive communion. And I've had people tell me before, but Father, I need the Lord, I need the Eucharist. Yes, you do. And I'm glad you know that. But if we are not in a state of sanctifying grace, if we're not properly disposed to receive the Eucharist, then we do not receive the graces or the benefits of the Eucharist. Actually, when we approach the Eucharist unworthily, believe it or not, we're pushing ourselves further away from God, right? We're committing even more sin and pushing ourselves further away from God, even if we think that we're drawing ourselves closer because of the Eucharist. Now, I can't get into a whole lesson on which sins are grave sins. So maybe you want to do some research in the catechism or find a good examination of conscience. But just to put a little bit of flesh on it, three ones that would be really common that sometimes people don't think are that big of a deal would be missing Mass on a Sunday or a holy day of obligation, right? That is a grave sin. It's a serious sin. Looking at impure images, right? That's a grave sin. Committing the sin of detraction, right? Where we reveal the faults and sins of others unnecessarily or without just cause, damage the reputation of another, that's a grave sin. Right? These are all serious sins that actually, by those sins, we turn away from the Lord, turn away from his love, and we actually separate ourselves from the body of Christ. We separate ourselves from the worshiping community. And if we fall into those sins, or there are others that I'll leave you to your research, we need to come to the Lord in the sacrament of reconciliation and receive his mercy in the form of sacramental absolution before we can really worthily approach the altar. And I can't help but think that there's meaning in here when the lepers come to Jesus asking to be healed. Ask to be healed not only of this physical ailment, but also this thing that keeps them separated from the worshiping community. And what does Jesus say to them? Go and show yourselves to the priests. Right, other places says, go and show yourselves to the priests and do what's prescribed for your cleansing. Right? I really do see in that Jesus pointing to us, like when we have this, when we suffer from this spiritual sickness that isolates us, separates us from the body of Christ, makes us unable to fully participate in the worship of the church, it's time to go and show ourselves to the priests. Now, if you have been living with grave sin that you haven't confessed, if you haven't been to confession in a long time, I really want to invite you to come now. I don't know if Father Steve will be in the confessional after Mass, but now at least relatively soon. However long you've been away, whatever it is that's keeping you away from the sacrament of reconciliation, it's been long enough. It's been long enough. And there's nothing really to be afraid of. Right? When we go to confession, it's an occasion of mercy, it's an occasion of joy, it's an occasion of receiving God's forgiveness. So it's an occasion actually for celebration, not for sort of walking away feeling humiliated and beat up. I can't promise you, by the way, I would like to, but I can't promise you that in your life of going to confession, you'll never encounter a grouchy priest that says harsh things to you. I can't promise you that. I can tell you it's not very common. I can also tell you that I strive to be a very gentle confessor. I sometimes wonder if I'm too gentle. I've gone to Father Steve. I've gone to Father Thomas. They're very gentle confessors. Right? If you go to confession, you're definitely going to receive the Lord's forgiveness, and you're most likely going to encounter gentleness and mercy, because we know what it means to be sinners in need of God's mercy, and we are eager to share that mercy with you. Right? A couple more things. The church requires everybody must go to confession at least once a year. Okay, so even if you're not conscious of having committed any grave sins, the church requires by law that everybody goes to confession at least once a year. Right? Also, you don't need to have committed grave sins to go to the sacrament of reconciliation. Right? Even we can take our venial sins, our smaller shortcomings, our struggles with vice, or our struggles in trying to grow in virtue, and we receive not only the Lord's forgiveness, but there's graces that come in the sacrament, right? Graces that help us to grow in virtue, that graces that help us to resist sin in the future. So I recommend, even if you don't have any grave sins that you're committing, thanks be to God, I still say go several times a year, right? Go to receive the Lord's mercy, go to receive the graces of the sacrament, go because it actually helps us to grow in virtue. Now, you know, I want all of us to have a deeper love and devotion to the sacrament of reconciliation, but especially if you have not been in a long time, please come soon. Right? And if you have grave sins, please get out of the habit of just living in a state of sin. Please get out of the habit of approaching the Eucharist unworthily. And of course, my point is not to tell you to stay away from the Eucharist. My point is to tell you to go to the confession, right? Go show yourselves to the priest. Be made clean. Receive his mercy.